Good morning. My name is David. I'm going to read from God's Word, and the passage today has been helpfully printed in your handout. So if you'd like to follow it along, it's in the handout. And we are reading from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her, but did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son. And he named him Jesus.
Well, good morning, everyone, and Merry Christmas. It's fantastic that we're all here today, so thank you very much for coming. Welcome to church as we celebrate and give thanks to our great God for the birth of Jesus. And, you know, the theme for today is Christmas at the movies. There are so many movies about Christmas, aren't there? They're either set at Christmas or have the whole Christmas theme. There's arguments about which one's Christmassy and which one's not. It's a special time of year, and there's hundreds of Christmas movies. But today, I'm not talking about those magical Christmas movies that you're probably thinking of, like Die Hard and Die Hard 2 or Die Hard 3, or even the kid-friendly version of pretty much exactly the same story, Home Alone and Home Alone 2. It's just Die Hard at his place. It's pretty much the same and a little bit less killing. But I don't even mean those kind of classic Christmas movies like It's a Wonderful Life or the Star Wars Christmas special. That does exist, and apparently it's awful. No, I mean Christmas movies like Dances with Wolves, The Last Samurai, and Avatar. Now, bear with me. I'll explain what I mean. In those movies, and there are a whole bunch that have the same kind of story, a person ends up living with a people who were strangers. In fact, they were enemies. So Kevin Costner lives with a tribe of Native Americans. That should come up on screen. That's right. Tom Cruise lives with a community of Japanese samurai. Or this guy lives with the tall blue aliens on a planet that glows in the dark. It's the same idea. They find themselves living among these people who before were unknown strangers. In fact, more than that, they were the enemies. But over time, they get to know each other. They actually become friends. In fact, they are united and joined and end up fighting side by side. In many ways, this is very much like what is happening in real life at Christmas. The Son of God comes to live with us. The Lord Himself is born as one of us to live in our world, experience our life, and know what it's like to be human. But more than that, He actually comes and lives as one of us, born among us, even though the Bible says we were all living as strangers to God, in fact, separated enemies of God. But Jesus comes to us, comes into our world. He shares our life. He shares our experience. He shares our weak, frail flesh and bloodness. And He does this as an invitation to live with Him and know Him and become friends with Him. Jesus came into our world so that He can make us friends with God, right with God, reconciled to God by becoming one of us. And the fancy word for this is the incarnation. It literally means Jesus took on a body, took on flesh, and became human. And this is a huge deal because Jesus is God, the King of the universe, the Creator, and he became a human. He became one of us. And what it means is that as we get to know him, it means we're getting to know God and we're observing his life and his character. We get to listen to him. We get to know who he is. We get to watch how he treats other people. And then as we do that, then like in those movies, we find ourselves united with him and reconciled to him and joined. But unlike in those movies where it's an unexpected outcome, where the person is taken completely by surprise that they end up being friends, reluctantly goes to get to know these people and forced to spend time with them and eventually figures out, oh, their life is beautiful or something. But with Jesus, it was in fact his plan, his purpose all along. It's the fulfillment of God's promises made centuries before. It's all part of his plan. We saw that from our reading just before in Matthew's gospel. We're going to read again from verse 20. But after Joseph had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. See, this child who is born is special because this child is conceived of the Holy Spirit of God. And what it means is Jesus is fully man. He's one of us, but he is fully God. This child who is born comes to save us from our sins. That's what his name means. Because this child who is born is God with us. I wonder if you've ever noticed that we sing about this whole idea in carols like Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We're going to sing later in the service. Here's a line. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with man to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel. I mean, that's what the word Emmanuel means. It's what the familiar prophecy from Isaiah is talking about. God is with us. Jesus being born is the physical presence of God entering the world, which is spectacular enough when you think about it. But God with us is more than just physical presence. It's spiritual and relational alignment. I mean, you can be near someone on a bus. You can be with them on a journey, but you don't speak to them. You don't know them. Maybe you've been on a plane or you've been in a restaurant with someone famous and you've seen them just over there and you think, hey, we're together doing this thing, but I don't know them. I don't speak to them. You might be physically near, but it's not the same. Jesus being God with us means he comes to share our life. He's with us in the sense of real connection, relationship, help and support, friendship and fellowship. That's the meaning of Christmas. This is what Christmas is about. We're not on our own. We don't have to do it all on our own. God is with us. He lends us his support and his strength and his encouragement and his love. God with us means he overcomes the physical barrier between us and himself. God who is infinite becomes human. God who is the creator becomes a creature. God who is spirit becomes flesh. But more than that, God with us means he overcomes the spiritual barrier. The Bible says every human has failed, every human has lived with something else in God's place, but God the Holy One comes to live with sinners. God the Judge comes to hang out with the guilty. God the perfect righteous one comes to take our sin and our failure on his shoulders. God is with us. Just listen to the way the Bible continually repeats this idea that God is with us. This is how God himself expresses it in his word, the Bible. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. That's what God with us means. We have nothing to fear because he is our God. He helps us and strengthens us and upholds us. Hebrews 13:5 takes that idea and expands it and says, God is with us and he promises, I will never leave you or forsake you. How good is that? That's the message of Christmas. God is with us and he will never leave us. He will never abandon us. This is what Christmas is about. It's such a big deal. And in the end, Christmas means we don't have to face the challenges of life on our own. We don't have to face the challenge of our sin and our guilt on our own. Even more, we don't even have to face death on our own. Jesus came to be with us and to be our shepherd. See, this is the peace. This is the reassurance we get from famous passages like Psalm 23. It's this whole idea, God is with us. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He renews my life and refreshes my soul and leads me along right paths. That's what it means to have God with us. But listen to this. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no danger, for you are with me. That's the message of Christmas. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, Jesus comes with the message that God is with us. The Bible says God is with us as our fortress and as our friend. He is our rescuer and our rest. God is with us as our loving Father, our mighty King, our strong defender, our generous provider, our comforter and our joy. Because Jesus came into the world. Well, we've been looking this morning at our passage from the beginning of Matthew's Gospel. From chapter 1, it says Jesus' birth means God is with us. But did you know Matthew's Gospel finishes exactly how it starts? In Matthew 28, verse 20, the last chapter of Matthew, the last verse of Matthew, is a reminder that God is with us. Jesus, who has grown into a man, and then he has suffered and died on the cross for us, and then on the third day, triumphantly been raised from the dead. He then gathers his disciples and he says to them these beautiful words. And this is how Matthew finishes. Behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's the message of Christmas. That's what Jesus was born for, died for, rose for. To be with us for eternity. And so today is the day to really understand that message, receive that message, and accept that message that God is with us. So let him into your life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have loved us enormously by sending Jesus into the world, that you are with us, you are for us, you strengthen us, support us, uphold us. Thank you that Jesus deals with our guilt and shame and sin. Thank you that Jesus resolves our suffering and pain and loneliness. Thank you that Jesus promises that he'll be with us for eternity. Father, thank you that you have come into the world that we might be joined to you, connected to you, and know you. Thank you that you are with us always. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.